Ah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اياك نعبد واياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد صلى الله عليك يا مولانا يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين صلى الله عليك يا ابن فاطمة المظلومة ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمن من لجأ إليكم يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم كتابه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم أفلا من صلى على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد For the love of Abba Abdullah al-Husayn, with the loudest of our voices, Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. For the love of Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, arwahuna lahu al-fida, Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Azzam Allahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره مع إمام المنصور المؤيد. Once again, we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this moment and this opportunity in this holy month of Safar to continue to acquire the understanding of our religion and our faith from the institution established by our beloved master and savior, Abba Abdullah al-Husayn, salamullahi alayhi. If brothers and sisters will recall very well last night, we dwell on the importance and significance of preparing for the reappearance of our beloved Imam, the Imam of our time. And we emphasize on a very important point that the mission of Abba Abdullah will be incomplete without the mission and the movement of the Imam of our time. And also we indicated to a point that we are in the time of Imam al-Asr, meaning the Imam of our time is Imam al-Zaman. So we need to try as much as we can to establish a very strong relationship and affiliation with the beloved Imam of our time, as our Imam will want to see us following its footsteps, following his teachings, and following the footsteps and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt in order for each and every one of us to be showered with the mercy of our Imam when Imam reappears in this world. Tonight, inshallah, the topic of our discussion will be positive change. And the verse I've chosen for tonight, this course, is a very known verse from the glorious Quran, which always, when scholars discuss the question of positive change, they use that particular verse. It's from Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 11, meaning Quran 13, verse 11, where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, in this particular verse of Quran, is telling us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِكَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will not change what is with people, meaning your situation will not be changed until and unless you yourself desire to change what is in your souls and what is in your heart. So meaning your destiny is in your hand. Your change is in your hand. And departing from this verse of glorious Quran, our examination of tonight will be of three stages. The first stage, we look at man's free will or man's freedom from the divine institution and from the teachings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, we will look at the divisions of people into two groups. The groups of those who are willing to change and the groups of those who are not willing to change. And lastly, we will conclude by looking at the steps we need to put in perspectives for us to see positive change in our life. You know, brothers and sisters, we as followers and lovers of Ahlul Bayt, if you count the amount of majalis we have in a year, there are so many. Every Thursday, we have a majalis. Every wafat, we have a majalis. Every wilada of an imam or even Imam Zada, we have a majalis. Muharram, we have a majalis. Right from the beginning of Muharram up until Safar, the Arba'een, there are many places where when they begin majalis, from the first night of Muharram, they will not stop until the Arba'een. So in a year, the majalis we have are so much. But when you look at us and you look at our situation, it's as if there is no majalis. We have a Juma khutbah, where we are reminded of our duties, where we are reminded of taqwa, where we are reminded of the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But upon all these lectures, upon all these majalis, upon all these wafayat of Ahlul Bayt and mawalid of Ahlul Bayt, we fluctuate, like the way they use economical terms, we fluctuate in terms of our spirituality and our closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find this month is okay, his salat is okay, but the next month he falls down completely. You find the other person this time around, his Quranic recitation is too good, but the next time it's over. And if you look at our situations, brothers and sisters, you realize that in the month of Muharram, we are so dedicated. And in the month of Safar, we are so dedicated. But immediately after Muharram and Safar, we go back to square one. We need to understand that the aim and the point is not about Muharram, it's what you become after Muharram. It's not about attending majalis. It's what you become after attending those majalis. Majalis are there to reform us. Majalis are there to change us. Majalis are there to make us a perfect human beings. Insan kamil. Majalis are there to help us understand ourselves, and in return, we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The majalis are there. Programs are going on. But why are we not changing the way we are supposed to change? So hence, my first step of the examination is man's free will and man's freedom. You see, Allah, out of his infinite mercy and rahmah, when he created each and every one of us, he created us free and independent. You remember the riwaya I quoted a few nights ago from our beloved first imam, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayh. Imam alayhi salam, in that particular riwaya,
explain to us who we are and how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala view each and every one of us. Imam said, La takuna abda ghayrik, fa inna Allah kad ja'alaka hurra. One version said, khalakaka hurra. Do not become someone's slave or servant, because Allah created you free and independent. You are independent. Your book of A'mal will be alone, and you are going to be judged alone, meaning your destiny is in your hand. Look at this famous tradition again from Mawlai Kainat, where beloved Imam said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he created animals, he provided them with desire and imagination without intellect. And when he created angels, he provided angels with mind and intellect without desire. But when he created insan, I and you, he provided us with desire, imagination, and intellect. That is what free will is all about. Hence, in the riwayah, Imam Amir made it very clear. Whoever allows his desire and shahwa and selfish interest to overpower his intellect, you become worse than animals in the eye of Allah. And whoever allows the intellect to overpower the imagination and to overpower the desire, you become better than angels in the eye of Allah. Why you become better than angels? Because angels, they do not have desire. Angels, they have got only intellect. And when you have intellect, you have no choice without desire. Hence, Allah, when he discusses about angels in Quran, what does he say? لَهُمْ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفَعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Angels never go against Allah's command. If Allah will tell angel, be in sajda right from the day you come to this world until qiyamah, angel will remain in that sajda until qiyamah. Because they do not have a choice. Animals, why? If you do not make good use of your intellect, you become worse than animal. Why? It's because animals do not have intellect. They cannot think. Yes, they can imagine because they have the desire, but it stops there. So if you do not make good use of your intellect to bring about positive change in your life, Quran regard you someone worse than animal. Hence, Allah in Quran made it very clear. وَلَكَدْ زَرَعَنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْكَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Look at Quran. Quran said, we prepare Jahannam مِنَ الْكَثِيرِ مِنَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ, with a lot of people and jinn. Because Allah sent rasuls to both insan and jinn. Quran is sent to both insan and jinn. So Allah said, we prepare Jahannam with ins and jinn. Which type of ins and jinn Allah is talking about? لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْكَهُونَ بِهَا. They have the hearts. They have the minds. But they cannot comprehend. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears, but they cannot listen. You remember I was talking about the sense of hearing. Maulana talks, it goes here, it goes out of this place. By the time I get out of Imam Bara, everything said is finished. Hence, I attend so much majalis, Mu'arram, Safar. I wear my black clothes. I cry for Amir al-Mu'mineen. But my akhlaq and behavior are still the same. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have their ears, they are not deaf, but they cannot hear, they cannot listen. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. Allah said they have eyes, but they cannot see. What's the conclusion? أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are like animals, even worse than animals. So insan, you have free will. Your destiny is in your hand. You have the choice to become a divine. You have the choice to become a shaitani. You have the choice to go to the mosque. You have the choice not to go. لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي. There is no compulsion in religion. The truth is prevailed over everything.
Rasulullah came with Quran. Amir al-Mu'mineen came with this teaching. They shown us there is this way and there is another way. So you decide which way you want to take. And you go to Surah Al-Isra to explain more on our free will and choice. Allah in Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, when he describes insan, what does he say? وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have indeed honored and respected the children of Adam. I want you to pay attention to look at how our beloved Sif Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. How Imam explained that freedom is so important to understand this. To realize that you are free. Everything is in your court. The ball is in your hand. Within your means, you decide where you're gonna kick it. Imam alayhi salam was asked, Allah says in Quran, we created the children, we have respected the children of Adam. Here is not even talking only about Muslim. It's not talking only about a Shi'i. He said the son of Adam or the children of Adam. You see how Imam Ja'far explained? Very beautiful. Imam said, I want to demonstrate to you to understand how free you are and how Allah respects you. Imam said, because when you look at Allah's creation, entire creation, and you compare to the way man is created, you realize that man is over all and every creation. Number one, Imam said, when you look at trees, Imam said, trees are created in the form of qiyam. Qiyam. Tree, you like any tree out there? Imam Ja'far said they are created in the form of qiyam. And what are they doing? They are glorifying the praises of Allah. And then Imam said, when you look at animals like livestock, they are created in the form of ruku'a. And what are they doing? They are praising Allah. And then Imam continued to say, when you look at the mountains and stones, they are created in the form of julus, and they are praising Allah. Then Imam said, look at insecticide, insect world. They are created in the form of sujood, and they are worshipping Allah. Then what Imam Ja'far said, he said, look at insan. If you want to make qiyam, you make qiyam. You want to make ruku, you make ruku. You want to make sujood, you make sujood. That is the freedom given to you by Allah. There is no any other creature who has been granted this freedom like insan. But why insan is not exercising his choice positively and properly? And Smolai Kainat said, on the day of Qiyamah, there are people who will be among the first group to enter Jannah. And these people will be questioned by others. Why are you getting Jannah before us? We made a lot of salah. We made a lot of fasting. We gave a lot of zakat. We did a lot of work. But why? Then Imam said, these people will respond by saying, yes, whatever we were taught about Allah, we place it on our intellect and we use our intellect to implement the little that we know. How many of us we know so much? But we're not ready to implement it in our lives. The little you know, try to implement it. Use your intellect to implement it. If you use your intellect to implement it, Allah will cherish it. Hence in Quran, people will enter into the fire of Sa'ir on the day of Qiyamah. Then when they enter that fire, they will be saying, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعَقِلْ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. If we were listening and we were reflecting with our intellect, we were not going to enter into the fire of Sa'ir. So number one, our choices are open. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala made you free. Allah made you independent. Your destiny is in your hands. If you want to feel the presence of Allah throughout your life, it's in your hand. If you don't want to feel the presence of Allah throughout your life, it's in your hands. If you want to become the representative of Ahlul Bayt on this face of universe, it's in your hand. If you don't want to become the representative of Ahlul Bayt, it's in your hand. Yani everything is in your hand. Now let's go to number two. Number two is the division of an insan into two groups. Those who want change and those who don't want change. When you read this verse 13:11, Allah said, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim." Allah will not change your condition. You are lazy about salah, He will not change you. You don't pay your homes zakah, He will not change you. You don't go to the mosque and pray, you stay home and pray, He doesn't change you. You don't stop gossiping, Allah will not change you. You don't stop going out without hijab, He will not change you. You don't make your salah, you accumulate a lot of salah, He doesn't change you. Allah will only change you when you make a move and you have the willingness to change yourself. La yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Because He made you free. He made you independent. So your destinies are in your hand. Now when you look at this verse, we are divided into two groups. Shaksiyya tagiriya and shaksiyya namatiya. Shaksiyya tagiriya are those who want change. Shaksiyya namatiya, no. He doesn't want to change. Ever since he's a Muslim, now it's about 10, 15 years, all his salat is at home and he's not willing to change. Even Jamaat will make salat late for people to come, they don't come. Because he's not willing to change. There are those, ever since they become baligh matured, they never added one nafila salat in their life. They want to remain only Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. They are not willing to change. So we have a Shaksiyya Namatiya. They are there. They don't want to change. Leave that. Come to our life. There are those who've got bachelor's degree for the past 10 years, 20 years. They are not thinking of taking it to the next level. There are those who've got master's degree. They are not thinking to take it to the next level. There are those who go to madrasa and they finish grade 13. They are not ready to take it to the next level. So we have shaksiyya namatiya according to this verse of Quran. And we have shaksiyya tagiriya. There are those who want to change. But now let us understand these two divisions. I want you to pay attention. As to why we are divided into two. Because if you go to any community, any house, any society, any state, you will find these two groups. There are those who want change, and there are those who don't want to change completely. Now, there is a great scientist, a great scholar, by the name Roger. He won this Nobel Peace Prize in 1983. And you know why he won this Nobel Prize? He came up with a research on man's brain, and he came with three conclusions. On account of that conclusion, they gave him that Nobel Prize. And this will help us to understand insan also based on the teachings of Quran al-Karim. What did he say? Number one, he said, when you look at man's brain, the brain is divided into two halves. You have the left side and you have the right side. Then he said, the left side has role to play in one's life, and the right side has its own role to play in somebody's life. What are the roles of the left side and the right side? I want you to pay attention and understand this takrir. He said, the left side role, number one, is istintaj. Istintaj means to deduce. So left side of your brain always have the wazifa and the role to deduce something. So when you see yourself deducing something or calculating something, it's the left side of your brain which is doing that work. And then he said the left side of the brain also does the work of at-tahlil. It analyzes things. So when you see somebody comes with a challenge to you, you are able to analyze it. It is the left side of your brain. And they said on top of that, the left side of our brain, one of its role is that it doesn't want change. It just wants everything to continue the way it is, but well organized. But to change to something else, the left side of the brain doesn't want it. Then he explained the right side of the brain is the opposite. Whereby the right side of the brain, it won't change. It doesn't want routine, like one thing every day, one thing every night, one thing every month. We come the same Majlis, we come the same Marcia, we come the same Noah, the same topic is being repeated. You know, the right side of the brain doesn't want that. And sometimes a person feels boring, a person feels so tired and disgusted, I don't want this. Then he said, when you look at the role of the two sides of the brain, then you can understand what the two sides of the brain can do in our lives. He said, for instance, the left side wants order. It doesn't want to change the routine. So someone who is dominated by the left side of his brain, he will be better off in becoming scientist or computer guru or IT guru. And so when you go to psychologists, they are able to identify these things in our lives. And he said, no, the one who's dominated by the right side of his brain is better off to become a businessman. Because in business, you need to see a lot of changes every day. So we have a lot of business people in our communities. I can see, man, the right side of the brain is working. Then the second conclusion he drew was this. He said, on account of this first conclusion, people are divided into two. We have lefties and we have righties. Not those who write with the left and right, no. Those who are dominated by the left side of their brain and those who are dominated by the right side of their brain. And then the last one, before you go to the last one, he said, sometimes you find in one family, one person is dominated by the left side and the other person is dominated by the right side. Hence, you find a lot of clashes. And he said, Allahu Akbar, if your wife is dominated by left and you are dominated by right, then every day in the house there will be shida. Because your wife dominated by left, meaning she wants to order. She doesn't want to change. She wants whatever is in the house to be organized. But you come back from work, you want to change because you are dominated by the right side of your brain. Then at the end, he said, no, there are those personalities who they have both together. At one stage, they are organized, and at the same time, they want to change. And this is where I'm coming. Islam, when Islam talks about change, Islam is not just talking about any change anyhow. Islam is emphasizing and focusing only on positive change. Tagyir ijabi. Islam want to see positive change in our lives. Islam doesn't want us to be stagnant. Like I mentioned earlier on, most of us, we are totally stagnant. Some of us are still struggling with 5 daily prayers. When are you going to bring changes in your life? Some of us, their 5 daily prayers is okay, but they are struggling to make only 2 rak'at before Fajr. Some of us are still struggling to learn how to recite Quran in Arabic. But when they meet Christians, they are proud to say Quran is intact in its original language. We're struggling. And Islam doesn't want you to be stagnant. Islam wants you to apply your intellect. Let's apply our intellect. Our school of thought is not a school of thought of blind following. Intellect is a very, very crucial and is so important in this life. And the same intellect will help you to map your way towards success in this dunya and hereafter. So positive change, brothers and sisters, is what we need. And especially the youth, both gents and ladies, we need to see positive changes in your lives. Not only in terms of your educations, not only in terms of your businesses. We need positive change in your spiritual lives. Change spiritually. Get more love for Salah. You go to the mosque, you find only old people in the mosque. They ask why. They say no, because old people, they are close to Barzakh. But that's wrong. Nobody knows when the barza will come to him or her. Remember the riwayah of Rasulullah, where Rasulullah said, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be no shade. But shade will be provided with certain groups of people. And Rasulullah outlined 7 groups that they will be provided shade on the day of Qiyamah. The first one, we all know, Al-Imam Al-Adil, just leader. Imam Walid Salah, leader of our community, father in the house, you must be fair and just. If you are just,
then you will get the shade on the day of Qiyamah. Then the second one is my point. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ رَبَّهِ. And youth who grows loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is youth energetic, studious, successful in his life. But upon all that, he knows Allah. Look at our communities. We have so many youth who are professionals. We need you to feel in the mosque and take things in your hand. Show the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةَ رَبِّهِ. Rasulullah mentioned, there will be no shade on the day of Qiyamah. But if you are youth like the beautiful faces I see here in my front, and you wake up for your tahajjud, you prepare for your salat in advance, you wait for salah, not salah to wait for you, and you go to madrasa and continue to learn about Islam the way you learn at your university, the way you want to become professional in your material life, you as you trying to become professional in your spiritual life, Allah will provide you with shade on the day of Qiyamah. And not only that, Rasulullah mentioned, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two men, father, father, brother, brother. You holding his hand, he's holding your hand. Let's go to the mosque. Let's get to Allah. Let's go to Karbala. Let's go to Najaf. We complement one another in the love of Allah. Rasulullah said, you'll be provided shade on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, it's so important to see what is called positive change in your life. Hence, the third step will make things very, very clear on this positive change. And this will go to fathers and mothers and those who have small, small brothers and small, small sisters in the house. You know, change, as I mentioned, we need positive change. Not when I'm not drinking alcohol, all of a sudden I start drinking alcohol. This is negative change. Not when I've been going to the mosque, all of a sudden I stop going to the mosque. This is negative change. Not when I've been wearing my hijab, all of a sudden I stop wearing my hijab. This is negative change. Not when I'm reciting Marcia, all of a sudden I stop reciting Marcia. This is negative change. We need positive change in our lives. And positive change will not come without putting some measures in place. There are five measures I'm going to mention based on the riwayat of Ahlul Bayt. That whoever wants to change in his or her life positively, these five measures must be put in place. Five. And then we close. The first one is tajdeed al-taqa. Renewing one's strength and energy. Change, then prepare to renew your strength and energy. What does it mean? A very great scholar, Abdul Rahman Tawfiq, has a book called Positive Thinking. He said, we learn how to renew our strength from our children. Your daughter back home, your son, young, infant, you see how energetic they are. Our sons and daughters are very energetic. You come back home, he's there next to television, he's touching something. You stop him, you say, sit. You give him something to play. You go just to remove your clothes and hang somewhere. By the time you turn, within 1 minute, he go, he's touching something else. Yani, the energy of children is amazing. So this scholar said, you can learn how to renew your strength from children through four steps. The first one, a child always has what is called tagyirun nashatat. Children, they change activities now and then. You find your child, unless if they sleep. But if they are not sleeping, they can do 10 activities at the same time. So this scholar said, learn from that energy. Allah made it that way for you and father to learn. It's an institution. Hence Rasulullah said to upbring your child first 7, second 7, third 7, each and every 7 as a philosophy. The first 7 Rasulullah said, let the child become your boss and your master, meaning look at the way the child is energetic and learn from that energy. They have energy. So number one, they've got what they call taghyirun nashatat. Children, they change from activity to activity. And you have a riwayah from Mawlai Kainat on changing activities. One riwayah said, Rawihu kulubakum sa'a ba'da sa'a fa inna al-kuluba tamillu kama tamillu al-abdan. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, renew the energy of your souls and heart hour after hour, because the souls get tired like the way bodies get tired. Renew it with ibadah. So children, they go to that side. Renew it. Once you renew it with ibadah, then you get refreshed. You get refreshed. You enjoy the ibadah. You know why we get tired of salah? You know why? It's because we don't add anything on the wajibat, so we are tired of it. If you can put Quran in between, put zikr in between, you will enjoy it, wallahi al-azim. Once we get tired of coming to the mosque, because now when I come to the mosque, if it's not salat time, I feel bored, I'm waiting outside, I have no program for myself. But if you have a spiritual program where you change from time to time, you'll never get bored. You will in fact see time is moving very fast. And hence Mawlai Kainat in one riwayah said, Lil kulubi akbalun wa idbarun. فَإِذَا أَكْبَلَتْ فَعَمِّلُوا عَلَيْهَا الْفَرَائِدُ وَالنَّوَافِلُ وَإِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ فَعَمِّلُوا عَلَيْهَا النَّوَافِلُ. Look at Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, our souls and heart are of two moods, good mood and bad mood. Imam Amir said, whenever you see yourself in a good mood, do wajibat and add mustahabbat again. But whenever you see you are in a bad mood, you know, sometimes you don't even want to see your wife, huh? Somebody will close the door and lock the room. Imam said, whenever you see yourself in a bad mood, don't do anything. Just do the wajibat and leave the nawafil. Because if you want to add, you will crush your soul. So number one thing we learn from children is that children, they change activities. So when you see your child doing that, learn from it. Allah is teaching you. Hence Rasulullah said, Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child who is born, whether mom Christian, father Christian, that child, before he attain maturity stage, he is on fatra, meaning kalimatu la ilaha illallah. Learn from that child. Number two thing we can learn from I'm mentioning this to our parents, when you go home, sit quietly and learn from these children. Number two, children, they are fuduli, they have inquisitive mind. Today, some of the parents, they come to us, Maulana, some of these questions you need to help us to answer. Because children, they are very smart. Your child sees everything. These boys and girls, they ask. Therefore, Rasulullah mentioned, Man humani la yashba'an, talib al-ilm wa talib al-dunya. There are two seekers. They will never be satisfied. The one who seek Allah and knowledge of Allah, and the one who seek dunya. Our fathers can tell, are you tired of making money? Nobody's tired of making money. Even if you own the old London, you'll still want to make more. But we are tired of Salah, I think. We are tired of Marsiha. We are tired of Noah. Fuduli, children, they have inquisitive mind. They ask now and then, why don't you ask Maulana? Only you ask Taweez and Dua. Maulana Taweez. Dua Karo, Dua Karo, Dua Karo. Maulana Dua Karo, Maulana Sahib Dua Karo. Oh, dua is good, but ask knowledge, ask intellectual discussions, ask about your fiqh, ask about your theology, ask about Quran. Keep on asking sophisticated questions to the scholars. Make them busy to study, let them have sleepless night and make research. Don't ask only Taweez and Fatiha kul wallah baraya kulli marhumi. Children, they have fuduli, these children. Look at this boy, the way he announced beautifully. They have this mind, they ask. So learn from your son and learn from your daughter. Number 13, according to this Abdurrahman Tawfiq, that we can learn from the children to change and renew our energy is that children, they have a ruhul ibda. They are creative. Children are creative. You go to the shopping mall, you buy them like something of broken aeroplane in different parts. You bring it home, you teach them one day, the next day they are making it themselves. Are we creative like that? When Imam Al-Kazim mentioned very beautifully, Man tasawa yawmahu fahuwa maqbun. If your 2 days are equal, you are a loser. Your Maghrib of today, if the feeling is the same like Maghrib of tomorrow, wallahi, you are a loser according to Imam al-Baqir. If last year Muharram, I knew only few surah, and this year nothing added to it, you are a loser according to Imam al-Baqir. Man tasawa yawma fahuwa bagbon. Being creative in Islam, meaning you develop, you excel from 1 to 2, you excel very high. If last year only wajibat, no nafila, nothing, no ta'akibat, and the same this year like that, it's a worrying factor. If we don't even break even in our business, how worried are we? Just break even. Maybe it's been breaking even every year with extra and extra and extra. This month is unable to break even. He doesn't have sleep the whole night. He's got sleepless night making munajat of Imam Ali. But when it comes to ibadah, it's a secondary matter. So we have to learn from our children how to renew our energy. It's so important, wallah. You sit, you watch your daughter in the house, said Allahu Akbar. You watch your son in the house, how Allah created. There is nothing which Allah created and is in vain. There are purposes for that. And the fourth thing we learn from our children to renew our energy, it's ruhul mukhatara. Children are not scared of danger. Your child, of course, he touched fire. Then when it burns him, the next day he will not go back again. He will go and pull this television down. He will be pulling it. Danger. But he's not scared of that. You learn from that. If you want to add tahajjud, don't be scared of it. Go into it. If you want to become muazzin of the mosque, don't worry. People laugh at your voice. Fine. Go for it. Spirituality, you have to take a risk. Hence Rasulullah said, whoever in his dunya affairs look at those who are above him, he is a loser. And whoever in his akhira affairs, meaning your taqwa, you look at those below you, you are a loser. In akhira, Allah wants you to look at those above you. He's making tahajjud, why not me? فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُ. Let's compete. Allah has given us the dunya. We are graduates. We've obtained all the certificates. We are working. What of your akhirah? Number two measure is an-nizam. You have to be organized. I wake up 6 o'clock, sharp. Fajr. After that, I take my breakfast. After that, I go to work. 11:30 sharp, wudu for zuhr and asr. Program. Weekends, I'm not working. I will hang around a little bit with my friends, but there is special time for Quran class. Imam Amir mentioned, alaykum bi taqwa Allah wa nazmi amrikum. Imam Ali said, have the taqwa of Allah and be organized. Yani order goes hand in hand with taqwa. Where you see taqwa, there is order. Where there is no taqwa, no order. So number two factor or a measure that we need to put into perspective for us to be able to change positively in our lives is order. You need to be organized. Muslims, unfortunately, in our spirituality, we are not organized. Number three. Aklun jama'i, collective intellect. You want to grow positive, you want a change, come to Hajj Abbas, Hajj Ali Akbar. I want to change, maybe you have experience more than me about this, what should I do? Ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa. Help one another to grow spiritually. Advise one another to grow spiritually. It's so important, brothers and sisters, not to waste our time in this world. And then number four point, which is very, very important. You have to aim high. Hadafun azim. Aim high. Very high. You should aim high. I don't want to limit myself with 5 times daily prayers. I want to fast 3 times every month. I want to fast every Thursday. Do it. Imam Amir al-Mu'minin was doing it. Imam Ali is called walking Quran. How many of us know Quran tafsir? Why Imam Ali is called walking Quran? Because he implemented Quran and Quran manifested in him.
How many times you spend to learn Quran? Aim high. In your new year resolution, add spirituality. And you will see your dunya will be taken care of properly and you will get a lot of khairat and barakat in your life. Aim high. Hence, Imam al-Hussein, when he was leaving Medina towards Karbala, he aimed very high. One of his statements was very powerful statement, which taught us Imam al-Hussein aimed high. You know what he said? Ridana ahlul bayt ridallah. Nasbir ala bala'ina. وَيُوفِينَا أُجُورَ الصَّابِرِينَ He said, we are pleased with whatever Allah is pleased with. We will have a sabr and patience with whatever is going to happen to us until we meet Allah to reward us the reward of sabirin. Aim high. And as they said in spirituality, whoever aims high in spirituality, he doesn't feel the pain of worship. When I see it in Laylatul Qadr and the amal is so long, if I am aiming high and I know what I'm doing, wallahi, there will be no pain in it anymore. And the last but not least, Allahu Akbar, a measure for change positively. We have to be proactive. Ruhu tafa'ul and thika bin nafs. Be proactive and believe in yourself. Like the way you believe in yourself when you are studying, believe in yourself also in Islam that I can go higher and higher in my spirituality. Aim high and be proactive. Hence Rasulullah said, Tafa'alu bil khayri tajiduhu. Rasulullah said, be proactive in doing khayr and good. You will find what you want. As the other night, I was quoting this beautiful riwayah to the ladies when we met. Where in Hadith al-Qudsi, this is a famous, beautiful tradition. Man talabani wajadani. Waman wajadani arafani. Waman arafani ahabbani. Waman ahabbani ashakani. Waman ashakani ashaktu. Waman ashaktuhu kataltu. Waman kataltuhu fa'alayya diyatuhu wa ana diyatuhu. Beautiful riwayah. Be proactive. What does the riwayah say? Qudsi. Allah says, whoever goes out looking for me, he will find me. And if he finds me, he will know me. And if he knows me, he will recognize me. And if he recognizes me, he will love me. And if he loves me, he will desire to get closer to me. And if he desires to get closer to me, I, Allah, will desire to get closer to him. And if I desire to get closer to him, I will cause him to melt in my love. And if I cause him to melt in my love, his insurance is in my hand. And the insurance is me, Allah. Meaning you will feel my presence wherever you are. So let's be proactive. I'm encouraging you and encouraging myself. Ahlul Bayt want to see us proactive in yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want us to work very, very hard. They want us to emulate them and believe in yourselves. Believe in yourself that you can do it. You can become an ambassador of Maitham al-Tammar. You can become an ambassador of Hijr ibn Adi al-Qindi. You can become an ambassador of Salman al-Farisi. You look at this Maitham al-Tammar, how proactive he was and how he believed in himself. They brought him to the house of Umar ibn Sa'ad, to the castle. And you know, Maitham al-Tammar, he loved to praise Imam Ali. So he kept on praising Imam Ali. Praising. Now, they came, they said, why are you praising him so much? Then they brought a knife, and they placed the knife on the tongue of Maitham, in the middle of the tongue. And they asked him, praise him again. You know what Maitham said? Ala uhadithuka an habibi amir al-mu'minin. Do you want me to inform you more about my beloved Amir al-Mu'minin? This is what we want. These are not masumin, but they were sincere. Maitham was a debt seller. You know his history. He was a merchant. He was a businessman. But he did not forget Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing we need to do, brothers and sisters. Isn't it Mutawakkil al-Abbas? He had a teacher who was teaching his children. And this teacher, he later realized that, no, he was the lover of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. The teacher would always teach the children about Imam al-Husayn and Imam al-Hassan. Now Mutawakkil realized that this is not the way to go. He called the teacher. He said, I will give you whatever you want. I want you to teach my children something else. He gave him a grace. So the teacher went, tried his level best. After some time, he came back. Then he asked him, what have you taught my children? You know what the teacher said? He said, the kambar is even better for me than you. Kambar, servant in the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's where we need to reach, brothers and sisters. Ahlul Bayt view us with a beautiful and unique view. We don't know. Quran says the a'mal we do every day is shown to Allah, is shown to Rasulullah, is shown to the Imam of our time. Imam want to see us changing positively. Hence, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he instilled self-belief in the heart of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, when Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was young, he taught him, Ya Abbas, believe in yourself. Hence, in the Battle of Siffin, Abbas was one of the heroes of the Battle of Siffin. And tonight, I want us to dedicate this night to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, alayhi salam. We all know narration says, so Ummul Baneen al-Arba, Allah blessed Ummul Baneen with four children. But Ummul Baneen was not in Karbala. So when they came back and informed the Ummul Baneen al-Arba on the massacre of Karbala, narration says, so Ummul Baneen would go to Jannatul Baqi'. She would sit in Jannatul Baqi'. She would collect all the sand of Jannatul Baqi'. Ummul Baneen will make 5 domes from the sand of Jannatul Baqi'. But then Ummul Baneen would start crying. She's teaching all of us not to forget the azadari of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. People would come to Ummul Baneen. Oh, Ummul Baneen al-Arba, you lost only 4 children in Karbala, but you always make 5 domes in Jannatul Baqi'. Who is the 5th child? Ummul Baneen will say to them, oh people, the 5th son is my son Husayn alayhi salam. You remember very well, all Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they would remember Aba Abdullah even years before the massacre of Karbala. The famous tradition says, when Khadija al-Kubra left this world, Rasulullah came to shroud Khadija with kafans. But when he placed the cloth and the kafan in Khadija, he found the kafan was too small for Khadija. Allahu Akbar. The lady who had so much money and she spent in the way of Allah. Rasulullah was struggling to clothe Khadija with the kafan because the cloth was too small. Rasulullah raised up his hand up high. He said, Ya Allah, I am your prophet, rahmatan lil alamin. And this is my wife, Khadija. She spent everything for this religion. I have no kafan to bury my beloved wife. What did narration says? Allah sent 5 kafans to Rasulullah. Said, the 1st kafan, use it to bury Khadija. The 2nd kafan is for you, Rasulullah. The 3rd kafan is for Fatima al-Zahra. Allahu Akbar. As if the Allah and angel were informing us, they will push the door on the rib of Fatima. They will break the rib of Fatima al-Zahra. And then said, the 4th kafan is for who? They said, the 4th kafan is for you, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Shahiduk, Mihrab, Kufa. Said, then the 5th kafan is for who? Narration says, the 5th kafan is for Hassan al-Mushtaba. And Rasulullah said, where is the kafan for Hussein? Where is the kafan for Hussein? Revelation came to Rasulullah because Hussein will be chopped into pieces.
And so Ummul Baneen Al-Arba would always remember Aba Abdullah. That is why Imam Zainul Abidin had Ummul Baneen, whenever Abba's name was mentioned, she never cried. Imam Zainul Abidin came to Ummul Baneen. Oh, Ummul Baneen, why is it that when the name of my uncle is mentioned, whenever we narrate Karbala, you don't cry? She said, Allah, oh Zainul Abidin, I don't believe Abbas left Hussein alone. I don't believe Abbas left Zainab and Sakina without water. Of course, Imam Zainul Abidin narrated what happened, but there's a line I want to share with you tonight. You know, Ayatullah Naini, one night, it was the night of Hazrat Abbas. He recited the majlis and he gave the gamme bayan of Hazrat Abbas. Ayatullah Naini reported by saying, he said, I went back home and in my sleep, I dreamt Fatima al-Zahra. But he said, when I saw Fatima in my dream, she was crying. I thought I made a mistake in my lecture and in the masaib of Abbas. Fatima cried. Ayatullah Naini said, I asked Fatima al-Zahra, oh Amma, maybe I made a mistake in my majlis. But Amma then responded to Ayatullah Naini, Naini, know that whoever recites the masaib of Hazrat Abbas, he should not forget one hateful line. Said, Naini, what is the line? Said, you should know that whoever fall from the horse, he fall with two hands. Whoever recited the masaib of Abbas should remember, the only one who fell off a horse without a horse was Hazrat Abbas. And you know, it's so hateful. When Hazrat Abbas was in the battlefield, Bibi Zainab alayhi salam came and she was watching what was happening. But you know who was on the neck of Bibi Zainab? Bibi Sakina. Zainab alayhi salam was carrying Sakina on the shoulder. They were watching what was happening. Sakina could see far more than Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam because Sakina was on the shoulder. You know, Sakina all of a sudden started crying. Sayyida Zainab asked her, oh Sakina, why are you crying? Sakina said, because my uncle is dead. Zainab asked her, why Sakina, why are you telling me your uncle is dead? She said, Wallah, I saw the flag falling down. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين يا حسين يا حسين